Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Good morning and welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Thompson Tractor, and we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located a little different place this morning. We're coming to you live from the Glen Lakes Golf Course, and appreciate head pro David Musial hosting us this morning. And Mark, Randy's playing in a tournament here this morning. It's a thing that they do every year, so he and Bobby Hall, and they'll be playing together in this thing and hoping that they win it. So but good morning.
Good morning, buddy. Good morning.
How are we getting along, man?
Man, I'm doing just fine. I went and had a little procedure done at Advanced Dermatology this week and did a little thing on my face, and I kept waiting for my face to get looking worse than it normally does, and well, it stayed the same so far.
But
those folks at Advanced Dermatology, one of our sponsors, they do a great job, and Dr. Thomas Benders just is a big supporter of this show and our program. But yeah, it's been a good week, and rolling into next week at our school, we'll be doing final exams.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the way it is across the Gulf Coast. We're doing the same thing at UMS, and so it's a big week. I mean, big week for kids. Semester exams. My little seventh graders, it's their first time to take semester exams, so they're a little nervous, and they'll get through it though. They're great kids, and so I know they are at Bayside too. So it is a good week, kind of short days. We shorten hours.
We do, too.
We do. We just do one test each day in middle school. High school does two on Monday, and that tends to be a long day for those kids. But we got seven new state champions.
Man, that was some good football on, too. I really enjoyed watching each. You know, it's funny. You watch all the games, and Alabama Public Television did a great job.
They did.
Televising those games throughout the state of Alabama. And kudos to them and the High School Athletic Association for getting that set to where everybody could see it, you know, if you couldn't make the games.
Yeah.
But, man, what some great ball games we got to watch. And you watch – the funny thing for me, the best thing is I've gotten older. The best thing is, like, you watch those kids play.
Yeah.
And if you know their coaches – each team takes on the temperament and the attitude and the personality of their head coach, and that was really fun to watch.
Isn't that the beautiful thing to know their coaches? Really, I think for the most part, we knew all the coaches that were involved in this state championship run. And of course, I thought the neat story was what Chan Lowe did at Leroy. Jason Massey coached four games this year and then got deployed. And, man, isn't that amazing? We have Jason's been doing this now for a long, long time, and this is the first time he's ever been deployed during football season. But what a job Chan Lowe did coming in and coaching that football team after being defensive coordinator. It really gave him a new perspective of the game of football.
It did, and, you know, he flipped over and called offensive plays.
Yeah, and that's
that's a neat thing. If you think about, you know, I've thought about this. It happened one time years ago when Coach Sav, we were all together at Ben Russell.
Yeah.
And he got really sick, some sort of food poisoning.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. And I remember somebody saying, one of the coaches says, "Mark, you know, if Coach can't go, you're going to have to call plays." And I'm going, "Oh, my gosh." You know, I realized I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to do that. I mean, you know, and so to have a staff that your head coach can say, "I've got to go do, this is my duty to my country, and this is something I feel big about, and I'm going to do this. Guys, you're going to have to handle it." And for those guys to step up and that thing just to roll flawlessly.
That was awesome.
That's a true, I don't care how good you are. How many players you got?
Yeah,
you still have to lead that bunch through and navigate all the turns and the bumps as you go through a season, and to be able to do that with your staff, that's a really remarkable thing. And Leroy, the town of Leroy and that school ought to be extremely thankful for their coaches and how they do things.
Well, and they are. That is a community that loves their high school football, loves all their sports. They've been really good for a long time in football and in baseball. And I don't really know a whole lot about what they've done in basketball, but I know that football and baseball, they have been outstanding. Let's go through these and just kind of talk a little bit about these as we go. We got some great guests lined up this morning. Ronnie Cottrell, the 3A state champion Mobile Christian head coach, will be with us at 8:30. And then David Faulkner. We'll talk to David Faulkner. He's brought to you by Will 2. Our friends over at Will 2 bring the McGill segment each and every, really every quarter. We try to get them on as much as we can during the year. And then at the bottom of the hour, you'll get a chance to visit with Paul Benefield. And I know that's they won their seventh state championship. And, boy, they got some young players. Paul and I were talking yesterday, and he said, God, Rick, I mean, we got kids. We got ninth graders. We got a bunch of young kids playing football. And really thought this would be a rebuilding year. There's no rebuilding
year. Man, I'm telling
you, they just reload.
And it was such a – I enjoy watching them play.
Yeah, because you don't know you never know which way they're going. Mm-hmm. I mean, you never know. There's no they don't a set does not tell you where a play's going.
No.
Formations do not tell you anything because it's all this misdirection
That's
stuff
right.
that you and Phil did at Doug Lefford did such
That's
a great
right.
job of that misdirection stuff. I don't know what you call this offense.
It's a type of single wing T.
Yeah.
The offense. It, to me, that's what I kept looking at it and watching it. You know, and Doug Vickery at Flomaton runs a very similar offense.
Yep.
And it is very difficult to defend, I'm just telling you. Because, I mean, they put them big old bodies up in there and they come right at you.
Yeah.
And, like, I was listening. I don't know who was calling the game. I don't remember. Was it Bill? Was Bill Clark calling that game?
Well, Bill Clark was in there for a half and just giving commentary. And he was on there. I'll tell you who he was on there. He was on there with Jack Crow, who's former head coach at Arkansas, OC
at Auburn. He was at Jacksonville State when I was at Jacksonville State.
He was the head coach there. So Jack Crow's been around. He's an offensive genius, just does a great job. I don't like that. I think the world of Jack Crow and Bill, I think they need to have high school coaches in that box talking high school football. Now, of course, Bill Clark spent a lot of years as a high school coach. I don't know about Jack Crow, but I love it when we have high school coaches coming from a high school perspective instead of from a college perspective. That's just the way I feel about it.
One thing that I really did like was that throughout the ball game, they kept talking about all the people who were commenting on the game.
Yeah.
We're talking about how that offense is one of those that just beats you down.
Yeah.
They just keep hammering at you and hammering at you and they don't ever stop.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Real Town, what a great job they did. They got a great bunch out there. My good buddy of mine's on that staff, Jared Wooten, who's on that staff. He was our O-line coach at Fairhope years ago. And so, that was a lot of fun to watch that ball game. But to watch Paul's team and that kid who plays running back for them, I think his name's Anderson. Holy cow, number 24 is all I remember. He could play.
I don't know how old he is.
He's a junior.
They got a running back, too, that's a freshman. What was his we'll think of it in a minute and we get to it. Let's give some of these scores. Let's write down these seven state champions. In 1A, Leroy 28, Coosa Christian 21. 2A, 543, Real Town 24. In 3A, Mobile Christian 55, Madison Academy 28. In 4A, Montgomery Catholic 35, Cherokee County 0. In 5A, Gulf Shores 21, Ramsey 14. In 6A, Clay Chalkville 31, Sarah Land 28. And in 7A, Central Phoenix City 21, Thompson 19. Now, let me say this. I guess we've seen every Super 7 and all the Super 6s.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that the 6A state championship last night between Clay Chalkville and Sarah Land wasn't the most entertaining high school state championship game that's ever been played. I don't remember. Now, you guys had some too now. And there we go.
There's our music.
There's Steely Dan. Let's hold that.
Hold that, man.
We'll be back right after this with more Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Mark Lassiter, Rick Cleveland. Hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful Saturday morning.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is your big debut.
All right, welcome back to PSR. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, and this is always a great weekend for high school sports in the state of Alabama. We're coming up on the end of first semester in most school systems, and we've crowned seven new state champions, Leroy in 1A, Fife in 2A, Mobile Christian in 3A, Montgomery Catholic in 4A, Gulf Shores in 5A, Clay Chalkville in 6A, and Central Phoenix City in 7A. And, Mark, you know, when you look at this weekend that these coaches and players had in Tuscaloosa, you know, it goes all the way back to when Steve Savarese became the executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, said, why don't we play these games instead of playing them at Legion Field? Why don't we move these games to the college campuses? And it's really become a big hit because kids getting to play on the same field that Alabama plays on, the same field that Auburn plays on, and the same field in Birmingham that UAB plays on. What a beautiful facility that is. What, and you've been there. We've both been there, and we understand how it affects players. I just think it's the best thing that could have ever happened to put these kids on in that arena and to have games televised statewide now by Alabama Public Television. And it's something really, really special for those children, to our young people, to be able to play in that game, for cheerleaders to be able to cheer there,
bands to be able to
play there, and officials. You know, what a great – I thought this week was almost flawless official-wise.
It was. I thought they did a fantastic job. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about on this show all the time is about officials and about how they're treated and how we all need to do a better job. Coaches, parents, everyone needs to do a better job of talking with officials and letting them know we appreciate the job that they do, because we don't have enough.
No.
You know, we don't have enough people. They don't get paid hardly any money to do this. They do it because they love kids and they love the game. And, you know, it's just this aura that kind of surrounds sports that, you know, you're supposed to yell at umpires or officials or whatever. And that's just, you know, people are not going to do that anymore. They're just going to say, you know, you don't yell at me, forget it. I don't get paid enough to do that.
Well, and a lot of that starts with us coaches.
It does.
It really does. And that's something that I get reminded of every time we play a middle school basketball game, for example. Let the coaches coach, and if they have an issue, they take it up with official. Fans, just let the kids play and enjoy the game.
Right.
Let them enjoy the game. We played a middle school basketball game last night. We had a young lady who's calling for the first time ever, and she did a marvelous job. She had an older official helping her. He did a tremendous job. I mean, tremendous job. But, you know, what you do is you encourage these people to continue to do what they do. We just need more and more of them. And now, right now is the time of year for people that want to get involved with football to get in touch with the AHSAA, find out who they contact in their area of the state. We got people listening all over the state of Alabama. And if you're interested in becoming a football official, you won't start off calling a area football game. Jump in there. Learn how to do what you need to learn how to
do. And if you don't know where to go, just contact the high school head football coach and tell him to give you the association's name.
That's right.
They can get you hooked up with it. But I'm just telling you, young people, we need officials. One of the deficit's grown huge.
It is.
In the amount of officials that we have to call ball games. And if we run out of officials, which we are headed towards.
That's right.
We're not going to have sports.
That's right.
That need officials in the state of Alabama, and that's a travesty. And so we just need folks to get in there and do that. But those guys did a great job
they
this
did.
Weekend. They were very – I like those guys who were just real straightforward.
Yep.
They don't, you know, it's not about them, and they know that.
Yeah.
They just want to make sure that the game's called correctly, and they are decisive, and they may be abrupt at times, but that's the way they're supposed to be. You know, you can't just go in there lackadaisically and call a football game.
No, no.
Especially in state championship. They did a great job, but man, you know, I've been in that game. That state championship game is a wonderful experience.
It is.
And, you know, we were fortunate enough to go in 15. And we were in Denny Stadium and standing there and watching Bayside Academy scroll around the stadium on that
That's cool
little thing. You know,
kids,
you sit there going, man, that is really, really pretty neat. And then the Walk of Fame you get to do.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it's the same thing at Auburn. Auburn rolls out the red carpet for high school kids. When they come there, it's a great experience. And that beautiful and the mystique of Jordan-Hare, you know, because that stadium has had, you know, somebody even mentioned that last night. I think it was after the Saraland game.
Right.
One of the announcers says, well, the mystique has moved into Bryant-Denny, it looks like, you know. But, you know, Jordan-Hare, and then the new stadium, and I'm
UAB.
And UAB.
Protective Life.
Protective, what a facility. Yeah. Man, that is nice. It was there last year or 2 years ago. It was at that stadium.
Yeah.
We went and watched the state championships there, and they did a fantastic job.
They did
job.
Do a so great job.
Thank you to all those universities for helping high school sports put on the show. And what was really cool, you know, is you see they'll pan around, and you'll see I saw Lane Kiffin, who was there.
Yeah, they were there.
Hugh Freeze was there. Nick Saban was there.
Sark was there.
Sark was there.
Yeah.
He's out there watching
KJ's
next quarterback.
Yeah.
And, man, you know, and I hate that for KJ. You know, he went down and didn't score.
Yeah.
They couldn't get him off the field for about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But he played a great ball game.
Well,
last night.
And there's a good point to be made here. And the point, I've already got the question 4 or 5 times this morning. Why did Saraland not kick the field goal? Certainly understand why they didn't kick the field goal. They ran the clock down to 5 seconds. We're going to have one play. We got one play to either win the game or to lose the game. Their field goal kicker had already missed one from straight on and probably was a little nervous. Young guy. But they were at a tremendously difficult angle. They were all the way over on the left hash.
They were on a 3-yard line?
Five-yard line. And Jeff made the decision, we need to be good enough to score and win the game from 5 yards out.
And here you go, Coach. You flip the coin up.
That's
you say,
right.
Okay, he kicks it. The kid doesn't make it.
Right.
All right?
Boy, and that's
– man, that's so hard.
Ooh, that's tough.
But he makes it, he's the hero. If he doesn't, he's the guy.
Well,
coach.
He just sends them into overtime.
Right.
See, they had
and
the
all
chance
he does
to
go
win.
To overtime.
Yeah.
And he just felt like, I'm not going to overtime
no,
with these guys.
You know, and they'd had a tough time stopping.
They had, especially in the second half.
Mbakwe is a
man.
Heck of an athlete.
Boy, he is
some kind of special player. You notice at the end down there on Saraland's last drive.
He was at corner.
He put him at corner on Ryan Williams.
Right.
But really, I don't know, was he at corner or was he at
safety?
He was
at corner, but they didn't put him on. They put him away and they double-teamed Ryan Williams.
Double-teamed Ryan. That's exactly right.
That's how they did it.
Well, that's a pretty smart move.
It was.
By Drew Gilmer.
You got two great staffs.
Really.
Good staffs, good men, and they do a great job. Both of them were extremely humble before the game. I just enjoyed watching the whole
thing.
Well,
and there doesn't need to be any criticism at all for the decision that he made.
No, sir.
I like that he stepped up and made that. I personally agree with the call. I really do because of the difficulty of the angle of the kick. I think it would have been much harder on everybody if that young man would have been put in that situation from that angle to make that kick. And then if he didn't make it, boy, that would – I can't even imagine.
Well, here's
that.
The thing. You know, everybody can second guess everybody they want to. You can do it a million times.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter. Jeff Kelly's one of the best football coaches in this state. He made a decision. That's what he was going to do, and I support him 100%.
I do too.
I really do.
I do
and
too.
Had he kicked the field goal, I'd have supported him 100%.
That's right.
He's the head coach of that
that's
team,
right.
And he made the call, and And he knows more about what's going on that sideline than any of us do.
That's exactly right. And we only had one game, not good game.
Yeah.
Montgomery Catholic. And
there was, Coach, that was their ninth shutout of the year.
Nine.
And
the thing about it, Cherokee County had a bunch of injuries, too.
They did.
A bunch of injuries. We'll be back with more Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right here. Coming back, we're going to talk to Ronnie Cottrell.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turning face to stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. This is not Randy Bergen. Randy's probably on about the third tee. Well, let's see. No,
he just went off.
He just went off. He just teed off, and good luck to he and Bobby as they play in this invitational, not invitational, it's an open tournament down here at Glen Lakes Golf Course. David Musial and his staff do a tremendous job. Beautiful golf course. Got the front nine that they play is a it's kind of a what that. Help me, you don't know. The front nine is it's like they play in England and Scotland and all of that. And heck, I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, let's get out of golf. Let's talk about Ronnie Cottrell and the Mobile Christian Leopards. Good morning, Ronnie. How you doing, pal?
Well, I am just blessed, brother. I don't know anything about no golf course, though. I can't help you there, Coach.
Well, it's a dunes course. It came to me as soon as I was trying to say it. It's the front nine's of dunes, and the backside's is level play. But first state championship in school history. Your goal was to play for 15 weeks. Well, you certainly accomplished that goal. You beat some really good teams along the way. So very impressed with the entirety of your football team. Of course, if you pick up a newspaper, you're probably going to see something about Damian Gaston, who I believe is committed to play baseball at South Alabama. Kane Womack might want to call him.
Yeah.
So, but talk just a little bit about it.
I agree.
Ronnie.
Well, I felt like, Rick, after the St. James game, and you and I talked about it, we went through so much in that game. We played just a marquee player. And it was back and forth. It was a game that in every situation, I mean, we were in adverse situations throughout the game. And you and I talk about this all the time about, you know, from adversity does come greatness if you handle it. And I felt like I told our players after we won the game that as men, if we deal with our life the way we did that night, you know, every time – things were tough. We pulled together. We continued to work. We continued to play. And we won the game 34-30. I knew that night, I just felt like I had a real, real special football team and that they would win this thing. And, of course, we get to Madison Academy, and they've scored more points than anybody. But every time they scored, our team answered. It was quite satisfying. And I hate to get a little bit corny here, but the Terry Cagle's verse during our pregame chapel was Psalms 37:4, and Psalms 37:4 says that God will give you the desires of your heart. And that's really what I had desired this whole year for this team, just to be able to experience what winning a championship could be for them. And, of course, after the game, the celebration was amazing. But all I could do was thank God at that moment that these guys get to do something that they would never forget for the rest of their life. And you've done it, Rick. I mean, you've done it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But for people who've never experienced that, it's just nothing quite like it.
You know, Ronnie, you're absolutely correct. To get into that game and experience winning the state championship is an unbelievable experience, and the kids have got to all do it together. It's one of the things I noticed about you guys defensively is that even when there would be a big play of some sort, the next few plays, those guys just rallied back in there together. you know, to make doing the best they could. And that was a high-powered offense they were playing. That wasn't just, you know, any little old football team out there. That was a high-powered offense they were going against. And I thought those kids played their guts out the entire ball game.
They did. And number five is a phenomenal player. He's not just a good one. He's back. His name is Cherry, Ken Cherry. And he had 2,500 yards coming into the game. He averaged more than 15 yards a carry. But early in the game, we did slow him down some. But as the game went on, he really flexed himself and really threw himself into that game. But all year it's been this way, Mark. I mean, if we turn that ball over and we didn't do it much, our defense, was, when they would be coming on the field, they would say, do not worry, we got this. And same thing with the offense. I mean, with the defense, if something happened on the defensive side, like you said, the other night we were ahead 14-0, and Bob Gotchi is a phenomenal football coach. I think he's one of the best coaches in the state.
Agreed.
Brought his team back to 14-14, and literally they had a lot of momentum within our kicking game. Stephen Walker is my special teams coach, and we don't run a wall return a lot. Mostly we're a wedge return, but he's the coach. I think we can get the wall here. They are very bunched, and so sure enough, he called it, and Michael Moore went from the far right side of the field, went all the way to the other side, got to the wall, ran it down to the five, and three plays later, we're in the end zone. We did our quarterback sneak package and just stuck it in there. But, I mean, we got the momentum back almost instantly. And to me, Madison Academy was not a good football team. They were a great football team. And the kind of team you expect to play in a championship. But they were a very worthy opponent. But our guys played so well, especially in the fourth quarter. Our linemen, I think in the end, we wore them down. We had a 65-yard run on the inside zone. Our lineman got a hat on everybody and knocked him out of there. PJ just went straight up the middle, and that kind of closed it out. That ended it. But I don't know. I'm bragging too much, but I'm just so proud of this team and appreciate y'all having me on this morning.
No, you should be bragging, because let me tell you this. That offensive line is not only mammoth. They're good. I mean, you know, there's a lot of football teams in high schools. You'll see you got a bunch of big kids up there, and they kind of get in your way and stuff like that. Not this offensive line. Those five kids come off of the ball. They hit you in the mouth. And then on two different occasions, really on more than two different occasions, but on two different occasions when I had the opportunity to watch, not only would they block who they're supposed to block, but they would also come off and get a hat on a linebacker. And when you got a kid like P.J. Brown running the football, I'm just telling you right now, all he needs is a seam.
He just needs a crease.
It's all he needs. And, Ronnie, by the way, have you seen the video that's gone viral all over the country of P.J. Brown?
Of him running
ducking
the ball,
his head.
Yes, sir.
Have you?
He's only about 155, 160 pounds. He plays middle infield for our baseball team, but he is so quick. But he'll throw his body in there, too. The touchdown you're talking about is the one against St. James, where he ran over the kid at safety. And, that was another point in time in a game where we helped our defense, and he made that run basically to win the game for us.
That's an amazing run.
And I wish you'd send it to me. I'm not very good on the Internet. I wish you'd send it to me. I'd love to
see it again.
That.
I will. And he's been the AHSAA Player of the Week for Coastal Alabama on a couple of occasions this year. But, Ronnie, I want to know this. Why is that not targeting? When a running back does that, it's not targeting. But when a defensive player does it, it's targeting.
It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't.
It doesn't. Really doesn't.
I'm not sure.
But he spent a lot of time in the weight room, too. I can tell you that. You can look at him and tell
that. Key for us, Coach Cleveland. Terry Cagle, our strength coach, is Bo Cagle's father, our center, has just done a great job. And we've lifted throughout the year, Coach Cleveland. I think we've done 2 days a week, and we've made a point of emphasis that we wanted to be stronger and better conditioned at the end of every game. And I really think we were. That's very subjective, but I really think we were. So
I do too.
I don't know. Those linemen are very strong. And Anthony Jackson is my offensive line coach. He played for me at Bryant High School and has just done a wonderful job. But I tell you what made them really good. They have to practice against his defense every day. Charles Lawson's group, the defensive coordinator, and we have good competition every day at practice. We do a lot of one-on-one and inside and working against each other. We try to keep it tight to avoid injuries. But I mean, I think that's where you get better sooner or later, Rick. I mean, you got to come off the ball and get movement with kids, with football players and opponents, and we were able to do that for most of the year. We were only behind in two games coming into the championship game. We were only behind twice, so we didn't have a situation where somebody really got on us. But we had a lot of situations where people continued to play and were very physical. And I know this is a bad term, but we always try to take the will of our opponent. We always talk about it, but it's very hard to do. I mean, especially against good teams. And especially teams like Madison Academy.
That's right.
I don't know that I'll ever have another team like this one. I felt like this was the best team I've had at Mobile Christian in spite of losing some guys. But they're going to definitely be the example for the future of our program here at Mobile Christian.
And they well should be, Ronnie. You know, I'm going to give you another point that when I love to watch – if I'm scouting a team or if I'm watching them, and I get to watch after the play's over. That's my favorite part. To see, I like to watch offensive linemen. When the play ends, what do they do? The ones that are really together and really love each other are the ones who pick each other up, not just the running backs so they can get on TV. I'm talking about the ones who pick the linemen up, hit him in the head, say, come on, let's get this next one. And they kind of talked amongst themselves as they get back to the line of scrimmage of the huddle. I saw your guys doing that yesterday. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, line is essential. Well, I appreciate y'all having me on, Rick. Y'all are the best.
Ronnie, you take care.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Appreciate you. God bless. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back with more Thompson Tractor PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Oh boy,
JoJo.
That would be Mr. Boz Skaggs. I'm getting some flack about it, Mark, telling me I'm really getting old.
Man, I'll tell you what, I got a compliment out this week.
Did you?
The coach, we sure do enjoy listening to Boz and Steely Dan.
Hey, well, we're gonna keep them coming.
Absolutely,
I'll tell you that. We spend a lot of time talking about leadership, and I think this is a great time to talk about leadership because we got football season over. We're coming up on basketball season, and we got some really great basketball coaches in the state of Alabama. I work with one that I think, and I mean this, I never really knew how good of a basketball coach Mike Knapp was until I spent quality time on the court watching him teach. And we got a bunch of those across the state of Alabama, Mark. And it is a joy and a pleasure to watch a really, really good basketball coach. I mean that. It really gives me a revitalization of the game that I once thought that I wanted to spend a lifetime doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just telling you, it's great to know that we've got coaches like a Michael Knapp in our midst. We so much appreciate 68 Ventures. You may not know Nathan Cox or Brad Israel, But I can tell you this, they've got a company that is on the cutting edge of making a huge difference, not only in our community or in our state, but in our country. And, you know, one of the things that we get a kick out of, or we get a blessing out of, really, is advice of successful people. To see how these people have reached the success that they've reached in their life, not only as coaches, but as business leaders, as attorneys, as doctors, just as a salespeople. It's amazing to see the journey that they've taken in their life. And one of the things that we really get thrilled about is one word called effort. You know, effort is getting the mission accomplished through hard work and ultimately the only path to a life of no regrets. Effort, and Mark, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. Effort separates excellence from mediocrity and winners from losers. Let me repeat that. Effort separates excellence from mediocrity and winners from losers. Effort dictates success. Effort is where the satisfaction lies, not in the attainment. Full effort is full victory. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about passion as it, you know, don't follow your passion, follow your effort. And we'll speak to that more often. But I want to give you some advice, some things that really hit home with me. Don't get in your own way. You ever heard that? You ever heard don't get in your own way?
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of us get in our own way. We can't get out of our own way. And the advice that most people, or many people who have been successful, have carried throughout their career is three things bring great people down: fear, greed, and ego. If you look back at the downfall of any head coach or any leader throughout history, you'll find they exhibited at least one of these traits, if not all of them. Again, fear, greed, and ego. Vinnie Viola, a man who beat the odds by becoming a self-made billionaire after growing up on the streets of Brooklyn, and whose father was a truck driver, told friends one time over a drink while they were in Austin, Texas. And his advice has guided many people to make some of the most successful business partnerships by focusing their efforts on people who are level-headed, generous, and humble. And many people who lead strive to exhibit these qualities in their own lives. Be very careful how you spend the first and last hours of each day. You know, this is really important, I think, Mark, because I have a pastor friend who says he wants to spend the first hour of his day in Scripture and in quiet time. And the last 2 hours of his day are family time based on Scripture and family awareness, being just knowing what's going on each day with the family. One of the most successful leaders in the financial industry had this tidbit early in his career. Most people wake up reactively, adhering to the world's needs, not their own. In a world of unlimited communication, people don't disconnect from society to analyze their lives. The first 2 hours of your day should be spent aligning your short-term efforts with your long-term goals. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Many people wake up during the week, 3:30 a.m., taking time to meditate and read for 20 minutes. Then they spend an hour doing an intensive workout like circuit training or maybe even hiking. The last 2 hours of your day dictates your energy for the next day. I got a buddy who spends an hour studying or learning a new skill and the last hour planning his next day. So learn to work harder on yourself than on your job. Now, that advice comes from a former NFL player named Brett Lockett. And, boy, that's some great advice right there. Mark, oftentimes we accept mediocrity, even as coaches. if we win more than we lose, that's okay, but that's not really where we're trying to get to. So think big. Don't be afraid to be bold. Becoming a successful coach takes you from making an ordinary salary in today's world to suddenly raising or juggling budgets worth of a large amount of money. And your skill completely changes. At times it's terrifying to think of the risk taken with the salary that you could have lived off for a long time. So why not try to be bold? Why not try to take a job? Go and invest your time in a job that really challenges you. One that will maybe put you at the top of your totem pole in the coaching business. If you're not bold, you may just stay where you are and you won't ever realize the potential that you've got. You know, leadership is all about leading yourself. And I'm going to tell you right now, those people who are successful in whatever they are doing, in coaching, whatever sport it is, they have to make bold statements with their own decisions about their life and their family. Be bold. Step out there. Take a chance. Try to get that job that you don't think you've got a chance to get. You may be surprised what happens when you do get it.
I be.
We'll be back with more Thompson Tractor PSR. That first hour flew by.